They told him, over here, there is a restaurant, there is a bathroom there. He went in. They told him where to go, he went. He went to the bathroom, and he came out. He washed his hands, and saying Asher Yatzar, and he walked. And people saw him, the restaurant was unkosher restaurant. The rabbi didn't even know what goes on. He just, they told him, rabbi, there is a bathroom over there, and he went. The people that took him the car. And the rabbi came. But a week later, people told me, rabbi, we saw Robert Kassin in an unkosher restaurant. He went in there. So maybe he had some cold drink. Well, he lasted there quite a while. I said, okay, let me see. I went to the rabbi and said, rabbi, you, were you last week and this day in a restaurant? And a restaurant? For what? I said, I don't know. People saw you in such a place in the street, the restaurant, in such a day. And he started, and he said, yes. I had to go to the bathroom. People are talking about it. Rabbi, they saw you there. Really? The rabbi said, yeah, I won't go anymore. Then he didn't even think about it.
Yeah, but rabbi, you didn't come and say that the people complain that the rabbi is going to the bathroom.
Yeah, but don't you know don't you have the people today? Not everybody is Alan. Not everybody has common sense.
I mean, you see a rabbi walking in the place.
Common sense is easy to have. Needs a lot of wisdom to have common sense.
They're waiting for mistakes. Yeah. They're waiting for the mistake.
Of course, as he said, definitely Rabbi Kassin not, and 999% of the people know that definitely the rabbi went for something else. But still, I'm showing you, a regular man, not Rabbi Kassin will go, if Alan will go, even though he is in my eyes is a tzaddik, but the people will say something else.
Absolutely true. Definitely.
The people don't want to trust him. I trust him, but people don't want to trust him. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
So, like, you go to a kosher hotel, and, like, fortunately, they have, like, we had to go 18 flights of stairs. Isn't
that's
that, like,
this question, that's why I was going to tell you, wait, since you're asking the same question, go ahead. Yeah.
Right, so it's 18 flights. If you run up, you know, like we had Sirdesha sheet we were going to have, they weren't having it. So am I allowed to run upstairs quickly to go get the thing because they're going to start our beat soon?
How do you run quickly with the plate?
Full shot, or flying up the staircase as fast as I can so I can get the like kak or something so we make a better chaf Sirdesha sheet. They didn't have it. We didn't know.
What do you mean by that? Why shouldn't you walk?
Because then they would have started beating, we wouldn't...
You are asking me if you can walk upstairs?
Oh, we let him run upstairs.
How do you run?
Taking the three steps at a
time. Why not? Run. Run for mitzvah, it's okay.
Okay.
Our name, Yavutz Adam Nidvah Mitzvah, but for Lubbish Shabbat, Gemara.
It's a good workout.
No, wait a minute. We said a person should not run on Shabbat. But for mitzvah, he's allowed to run. When you do a mitzvah, you run. You run to go to the shul, you run.
Okay.
You walk out of the shul? Surely not. But you go to the shul, you run. You go to get Sirdesha sheet, you run. But he asked another question. 18 pro, what should they do? He's asking, I don't know. If he's asking to use the elevator?
Can I continue asking it then?
Huh?
Should I continue asking the question?
Yeah.
They have like so-called a Shabbat elevator, they call it. Meaning like that it stops on every floor. And even if you want to, it takes a while to go up or down, but that's what it is. Is it allowed? I mean, you're all going by electric.
Yeah. Let me explain to you one thing. First of all, it's not supposed to be done. But let me tell you one thing about the elevator. You must know that the elevator works more or less by the number of people that will be in the elevator. There is more power being used. If there is one man, or two men, or three men, more power being used by more people into the elevator.
My weight.
And another thing, what needs more power, to go up or to go down?
To go up. To go down.
Of course, you say to go up.
To go up.
To everybody would think to go up, it's harder than going down. Going down doesn't need power, it will go down. But it's not. Needs more power than going down. Going down even worse. Why? Nature of magnet. You know what? The nature of... this is things of nature. The earth pulls everything down. Even if there's no power.
Gravity.
At all, gravity. It goes, it will drop down right away by itself. It needs a power to hold it.
Back.
Not to drop at all. But in going up, it's easier. It doesn't need as much power as the one when it goes down. And even worse. People think, look, in going down, it's okay. It doesn't require power. It's wrong. Therefore, elevator, even Shabbat elevator, would be not allowed. Among the rabbis, there is argument if to allow it to old people or sick people, to allow them that Shabbat elevator or not. Some they permit it for those people, older than that, and they advise them to wait, that will be already somebody in the elevator, and go with him, not to go alone. Do you understand? Because it's done for you. Even though it's done by itself, the elevator goes. But some, they say not to. At least we say only old and sick people. In Long Branch, they used to have a prayer before in the spa. They have their condominium before they built the shul in Cedar Avenue. They used to pray in the spa, and people they live in the building of the condominium. They come, they want to come down in order to go to shul. One of the people was a very religious man. He happened to have one of the floors, as you say, in the 17th floor. And they insisted the people there that they should come. He was the Hazan to be. He said, how can I come? He didn't want to come. He said, I know I'm not allowed to use elevator. From here to there, they came, they turned to me with the question. And they needed him for the Hazan. And of course, for him, it was very, very aggravating not to go to shul. And he said, I made a mistake. I bought my condominium in the 17th floor. I didn't realize, but then I noticed. And matter of fact, he said, Rabbi, I assure you, I'm going to move out of that. Sell my condominium and buying a house. Then he did that later. But meantime, that year or two, he wanted to pray. I wrote a long thing for him, and I told him, I permitted him, as he was an elderly man and very religious, I said, temporarily, will allow him to go with this Shabbat elevator, that there was no Shabbat elevator, there was already the guy is putting it for some other people, and he will go and he wait till it does happen such a thing, and then he goes down and he pays. That's what he did for about a year and a half, then he moved. He said, Rabbi, he told me temporarily, and he moved. So people who are really religious, you can rely on them that they mean it, mean business. And therefore, when a person buys such a thing, and he goes, even the hotels today that they go on Shabbat to see to it, that they will take first or second floor, not to go something that will be able to walk, not to come rely on this elevator.
Sometimes it's a matter of
argument.
Huh? Sometimes it's not available. You check into the hotel and it's not available.
I'm saying let him stay in his room and pray with him.
Well, I'm not forcing him.
Or he wants to just go down and don't come up till the evening. One of the two.
Walk or stay.
He has to know what to do before that, ahead of time. Well, not telling. I went in Mexico.
I was going to say, Mexico, give an extra 50.
They'll move the rooms for you.
My host was on the 7th floor. I went 4 times that day, walking all those stairs, 7 floors, up and down, the Shabbat, and we went. It was a murder, but we did it. But this is, we can't help it. But you know, there is elevator is waiting for you. And everybody looks at you, you're walking up and down, and the host himself, He also walked. I told him, you do that all the time? He said, yes, Rabbi, I walk all the time. I don't. But I don't walk so many times as this Shabbat. But every time I walk once only. Down and up. But now we had to walk every time I go down. We went down. It was more. It's very tiring. This is that's why it's no good to be in. Ahead of time, a person should know where he's going to be.
Is there such a thing as these Shabbat elevators that are programmed and they're not affected by the weight?
No.
There's no such automatic.
No, maybe there is, I don't know. Maybe now there is a special technology research that they make in Yerushalayim in Beit Vagan. There's a place headed by Rabbi Halpin. He found a solution for everything. For everything hospitals, for everything, telephone even. To answer a phone on Shabbat. He made a phone that doesn't at all, there is no effect of anything of Hilul Shabbat. So far they are using it, religious people, doctors, over there at that telephone, or even the government officials that are religious, they use it because they are permitted. But he said also, he doesn't want to permit it to everyone yet. Only when there is necessity, like doctors and others that he made. There is one doctor here, a lady, I don't know, in the garden or something, she is using it already, that telephone. That was invented by that place, a research place for halakha, technology and halakha that they did make. But the whole hospital of Sha'arei Tzedek, that's a religious hospital, everything is done according to halakha. Shabbat, for Kohanim to go in, there is everything the Kohanim can go in, nothing to worry about. That there is a dead body, even if there is, nothing to
harm or not go.
There's like double doors, when this is open, this is closed, automatically. I mean, unbelievable what they did. But they go to expenses, but they are ready. That is, when there is a religious institution, they do it. And that's what they did. Sha'arei Tzedek is known as the religious hospital, was founded by a doctor called Dr. Valach. They used to call it Bet Holim Valach, Hospital of Valach. Valach was a doctor that came from Germany, very religious man from Frankfurt, and he was, as a young man he came, well qualified doctor, but he was so devoted to the people. He saved lives of so many people. There is a story of him that he came, there was a man that declared already that he passed away. And Valach was there, Dr. Valach was a young man, there were elderly doctors that were known, that they checked the pulse and everything, they said he is dead already. He realized, he was looking at the patient, realized that he was still alive. And he, after they walked out, he walked on him, he walked for 2 hours till he revived him.
Wow.
With different medication, everything. What happened? They were operating on him, they gave him anesthesia too much. And he revived the man. The man, when he was revived, he said in Hebrew, "You broke my bones." That's his expression was, the first thing. "Shibartem et atzmatai." That's what he said. Then Dr. Valach walked out. And he told them before that, he told them, "I think the man is still alive." The doctors were very insulted.
Yeah.
They slapped his face. He was a young doctor. After that, he told them, "Excuse me, will you please go see the patient?" They went, they saw him alive. They were very embarrassed. They came to him, they apologized. And because the head doctor over there, he slapped his face.
Wow.
And became to be very known, Dr. Valach, in all Yerushalayim. He opened that hospital. There were many people in Frankfurt who knew him. Is how religious he is and how good of a doctor he was. And he opened that hospital. The hospital, the way the Shabbat 100%, nurses could not have their sleeves up, only to a certain where they can walk. Candles being lit every day. The minute Shabbat, he runs like a lion all over the hospital to see, but everything done. only for emergency, that he would allow it right away to do. He was running in that hospital. I saw myself how the man walked. He never got married because he was so devoted for the hospital. And many rabbis called him, and they gave him, they told him, everything you do right, but this is wrong. You must get married, they told him. And, you know, meantime, he got so busy, and it was. He's unbelievable what he did. So religious. Rabbi Alfandari was the greatest rabbi in the last century. He was in his hospital when he became already 114 years old.
Wow.
He went there, and he did everything to save his life, till nothing was to be done anymore. Then he sat down. He said, I have only one more medication for him. I hope it will work. He took a small book of Tehillim from his pocket. He started reading Tehillim. Sure enough, the rabbi opened his eyes and was again conscious. And the doctor started applying medications. And he lived another 2 years.
Wow.
And I lived another 2 years. And again was in the hospital. And again he lived till 118.
Wow.
And the rabbi was in clear conscience, clear mind, Rabbi Alfandari. Remember, I was a child, 8 years old, when they declared that he passed away. They declared Bitul Melacha all over Yerushalayim. All the stores were closed. The funeral was a tremendous funeral. Rabbi Alfandari, everybody knew, all over the world they knew, who is Rabbi Alfandari, because rabbis from Europe, they used to come, just wanted to see him, to look at his face, because he would never waste time to see anybody. He was a very great man, sharp in mind. Sometimes they come to ask him a question. Rabbis, that they come to talk to him, they cannot come to talk just the Varim B'Tanim. They must come to say Hiddush, questions, answers. Sometimes a person comes just because wanted to see him. He brings a book with him. Rabbi, I have a question, this Mishnah. Just pretending that he has a question. And then the rabbi realized that Tipesh, lo hevanta at the Mishnah, tabala bedi tazman, you come to waste my time. You make yourself, you have a question, get out of here. Yeah. And he continues to learn. Sometimes they ask him questions. Oh, yes. This I saw 60 years ago in the introduction of a book that asked these questions. And he would go up the ladder, and he bring the book, and he shows them in the introduction the question that they asked. He was so sharp in mind, his knowledge, absolutely unlimited. They used to call him Maharsha because his name was Rabbi Shmuel Eliezer Alfandari. They gave the name Maharsha because Maharsha was another great rabbi before him, was known. Maharsha is a great name. This rabbi was called Maharsha in the last century. That's how great he was. There was a rabbi in Europe, was known all over Europe, very great. He wrote a book called Darchei Teshuvah, tremendous book. And he wrote to him a letter. He called him Saba Kadisha, the holy Saba, grandpa. He tells him, Rabbi, I'm very anxious to come to see you. The rabbi found him, he told him a letter. What for? If you come to see me, then you may not be able to pray with the minyan. Imagine, I'm coming by boat. So stay in your place. He stayed. 2 months later, he wrote him another letter. He said, I got sick because I'm anxious to see you. He said, how about the minyan? I said, I'll bring people with me in the boat. He said, okay, if you are already, you got sick and you stopped from learning Torah, come. And he came. First thing was he went to visit the Kotel Maharavi, then he went to see the rabbi. And he stayed, he was his guest of the rabbi. He said, always they spoke Torah. And the rabbi, Ashkenazi, came. He brought Sefer Torah, he prayed Minha very late on Shabbat, and brought Sefer Torah out. He was reading. Rabbi Alfandari got a little bit annoyed. He said, what's the matter, Rabbi? He said, everything you do is good. This is not good. That you pray Minha late and you bring Sefer Torah out. He said, Rabbi, if somebody else would tell me, I wouldn't listen, but since you told me that, I promise you, I'll never do it again. And never. The Gaon Monkach, that's called the Gaon from Europe, whatever Rabbi Alfandari would tell him, he would do. that he was known of the greatest. And people like this there isn't today. But that, and we say all this I'm bringing only to say we came from one subject to another.
From the elevator.
Huh?
From the elevator.
Yeah, we came elevator of the pain. One thing led to the other one. Then the elevator, it's a matter of question. If you, as we say, if there is sick people, old, and there is no other way, if it will be done properly and with the conditions that they tell them, okay. If even this, many rabbis don't like it, but we close our eyes. As they say, "Lizkenim v'cholim hitiu." If not, that I do. Okay, now I'll stop here because I'll have to go now. I have somewhere where to go. Okay.
What about escalators? Are they? What about escalator?
Same
thing.
I don't know what's the nature of the escalator. If it does also increase the power or not, I have no idea. Mr. Mader is also. ואנחנו גם נחשב מרצח חודש וחודש וחודש אל וחר פעלים תורות השני מר. אבל נחפש מהסכו יגביל תורה, וידיר יתגדל ויתחדש.